Mark chapter 11, as we continue here in verses 25 and 26 this morning. I feel like God has really birthed a word in my heart for us as a body, and so we want to pause at these passages. Let's read them. It says, "And whenever you stand praying," Jesus obviously speaking here, "and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven also might forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Would you pray with me? Lord, I know that today you have a word, and I just pray you'd help me to deliver that. And God, I ask, Father, that you would just have your way. God, that you would bring us to a place of forgiveness towards anyone and everyone that has ever offended us, hurt us, Lord, sinned against us. Father, we pray that you do a healing work in our hearts today. Speak, Lord, into our body. Speak into our lives, we pray. Minister your word, we ask. Lord, I just ask that you would give me the grace to share, Lord, and help me to be clear on your heart. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. 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 I believe today that the Lord has given me really a word from this text here, and really felt like the Lord gave me a word on Thursday night during our afterglow as I was just meditating on just the Lord and just what he was doing, and just really birthed a message here. I had been planning on teaching this. I actually had reserved it last week to do this week, but last week I wasn't aware of, I think, how much God really wanted to minister to us. And obviously, it's an issue of forgiveness. Jesus says concerning prayer, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone," and then these two words that are so powerful, "forgive him." If you have anything against anyone, forgive him. And in the Greek, anything and anyone means anything and anyone. It's real clear, isn't it? Jesus is real clear here. It doesn't take a master to interpret this one. Anything against anyone, forgive him. And where? When you stand praying, Jesus is teaching on prayer. Remember verse 17. He said, "In my Father's house, it shall be a house of prayer for all nations." The Jews would stand there praying. And as you come and pray, even today the Jews go to what we call the Western Wall, or the remainders of it, and they stand there and they pray. It was a position of prayer, standing. That doesn't mean that that is the only position of prayer in the Bible. I can make a case for standing or sitting or kneeling or laying down, prostrate on the ground. They're all there, but one of their main ones was standing and praying. And Jesus here, he says, if you're standing and praying, because remember he just talked about last week, we looked at very important passage, the prayer of faith, praying in faith without doubting in your hearts, believing in God will give you that which you are praying for. We talked about praying based on the word of God, based on the will of God, and the prayers that God will do. And it's just an incredible passage of scripture. And so Jesus, going on with prayer, he says, if anyone has anything against anyone, forgive him. The word that I believe the Lord gave me, it was a phrase he started. The whole message was birthed with a phrase of, there is unforgiveness in my house. There is unforgiveness in my house. And what does that mean? Well, in our church is made up with you and me. In our hearts, there is unforgiveness. Now, I'm not saying everyone this morning is unforgiving. You're a bunch of mean, horrible people, won't forget everyone. Everyone's bitter. But what I'm saying is I believe, and I know, just even based upon first service and the response that people had, that the Lord wants to minister to a group of people this morning. And maybe we're all from different walks of life, but there are some of us here today that struggle. And it's not a new struggle by any means. It's not something recent. It's a struggle that's been going on for some a long time. A struggle that some of us don't even see as a struggle. What Jesus is teaching, he's tying forgiveness in with your forgiving others, with your fellowship with God. That's what I want us to see first and foremost, that my fellowship with God, my walk with the Lord, is going to be affected by my forgiveness towards other or the lack of it. It's going to be effective either in a positive way or a negative way. My ability to receive the forgiveness from God for my sins is going to be affected. And I think on a very practical level, Jesus is speaking here. He's not speaking on a theological level, like the issue of justification or the issue of salvation as Paul would deal with in the book of Romans or in Galatians or other portions of his epistles. But he's really dealing with practically, as you approach God practically, as you come to God practically in prayer, that if you don't forgive others, you won't receive the forgiveness that God has for you. You know, Jesus says this in Matthew's gospel as well, in the Sermon on the Mount, when he teaches there on prayer. Matthew chapter 6, let me read it to you. This is where Jesus speaks about prayer. He speaks about when you stand praying, you know, in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. He says, I say to you, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret. And then we have what we call the Lord's Prayer. And he says, you know, pray in this manner. Don't pray like the heathen, but pray with a relationship and pray in this manner and speak to God like this. And then after the Lord's Prayer, he says in verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you yours. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And it's one that you kind of step back and you're a little perplexed at. Forgiveness is tied together with prayer, both in Mark's account and in Matthew's here. And it's tied together with not just prayer. When I say prayer, I want to reiterate this. I don't want us to think about our prayer time, but I want to think about our fellowship with God, our walk with the Lord. That's what Jesus is talking about. Your communion with the Father, your walk with God, as we say today in the modern church, we call our walk with God, our relationship with God. It really is going to affect that. And if I choose not to forgive, if I have bitterness in my heart, unforgiveness in my heart towards someone else, it is going to affect my walk with the Lord. So this is a point that is very important for every one of us that are Christians today. We ought to care about. Now, Jesus is trying to teach his disciples that forgiveness is something that is of the utmost importance for their relationship, for their fellowship with God. I believe today there are people right now that suffer in the body of Christ, surely as a whole, but we're talking about today for our church. We've been looking at the book of Revelation and we've seen that Jesus says to the church, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Now, it's my job this morning to bring to you what the Spirit is speaking to the church. Now, in that context of Revelation, it's to the local church, to the individual church of Ephesus and the church of Smyrna and the church of Pergamos and on and down the list. And so here we are as an individual local body of Christ that I believe that God will have special words for. As the messenger of God, I stand before you and hopefully I bring to you that which the Spirit of God it wants to relay, wants to speak his message to you, to his church. Now, I'm included in the church, and so this message is as much for you as it is for me. And I know it has impacted my life and will impact my life, and God is certainly doing things in my heart and my life and certainly teaching me through his word as I teach this morning. But let me say this, it is your responsibility today to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. If it's my responsibility to say, you know, everyone wants to see the pastor better have a word, you know, today. The pastor better have something for me. You know, people say it to me all the time. You know, they come to church and go, you got something for me today? You know, and that's my responsibility. That should be your desire. But the question I have for you, I like to do this because you guys always ask me this, so I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have an ear today to hear what the Spirit is saying? And I say that, and I want to just pause, and I want you to think about that, and I want you to open your heart right now and say, Lord, speak to me. Just speak to me right now, Lord. Open my heart. Lord, I want to approach your word this morning with humility, and you need it. You need humility right now. As I need humility to come up here and share with you, we need humility to hear the word that the Lord has. Our tendency is to fight. Our tendency is, that's not me. I'm a very forgiving person. I'm a very gracious person. But I want us just to step back this morning and just to say, Lord, is there something in my life that I just don't see, that maybe I'm blinded to, that you have some word for me? Something that might be affecting and really crippling my walk with you. Jesus doesn't just say what he says in Mark's account that we're looking at. Jesus doesn't just say, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Jesus says, if you're in Matthew, you can turn to chapter 5 and listen to what Jesus says concerning forgiveness here on the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, there pick it up at verse 23. This is after he talks about, you've heard it said of old, you shall not murder, but I say to you, if you hate, you've committed murder. Then he says, going up, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, verse 23, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Notice what Jesus says here. So Mark says, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. That's pretty clear, pretty simple. Jesus says, not only do you have, and obviously Mark records what Jesus says, so Jesus said that. Jesus says here, not only if you have anything, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, but he says here, if you remember anyone has anything against you, leave your gift at the altar, leave the place of worship, and go be made reconciled, and then come back. This is powerful. This is amazing. In fact, in chapter 18 of Matthew's account, turn there with me, Jesus says something else. Notice this is all the words of Jesus. This is our Lord himself speaking to his disciples about forgiveness. Matthew chapter 18, it says in verse 15, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. So we have, if you remember that someone has something against you, the Matthew 5 there, if your brother has something against you, not that you have something against him, but he has something against you, go to him. Now Jesus says here in Matthew 18, if you have something against them, meaning they've sinned against you, go to them, reconcile. And then the general phrase that Jesus gives us in our Mark account, if you have anything against anyone, I mean, you wouldn't talk about covering every area. Amazing. Jesus is requiring us as a church that if someone sins against us, it isn't their responsibility to know that and to come to us, but it's our responsibility to go to them. I cannot tell you how many times, and hear me clearly here, this is real important, how many times people sin against people and they don't even know they've done it. How many times you have sinned against other people in this room, probably. How many times people have sinned against me and they don't even know they've done it? How many times I have sinned against you guys and I don't even know I've done it? Unaware of the things we do and how it affects others. Our hearts are not to hurt. Our hearts, hopefully, are to heal. But our hearts are deceitfully wicked. We hurt each other all the time, and we don't even know it. And this is where I want to talk about this morning, grace. We need to be, we have to be, because of that fact that we hurt each other without even knowing it, we have to be very gracious, forgiving people. If you have anything, that guy hurt me. That person said that. That person did that. And that really hurt. Forgive them. Jesus says, forgive them. People are going to hurt you. I'm going to hurt you. I don't want to. I'm going to hurt you. You're going to hurt me. You don't want to. You're going to hurt me. You know how much hurt I've had since I've become a Christian? Far more hurt than I had before I was a Christian. You don't expect the body of Christ to hurt you, but they do, don't they? My kids tell me they love each other, but they hurt each other all the time. Because they're selfish, because they're focused on themselves and their things, and they're just simple little sinners. And that's us, isn't it? We as the children of God. You know, we talk about relationships, those of you that are married. How many times you've hurt each other? Did you get married and say, I just want to hurt this girl? You know, that is my desire. I want to get married today and I want to hurt her. But she feels like that sometimes, you know, and we're just hurt and we're offended. And it's one of Satan's greatest tools that he uses to destroy people's lives, to divide churches, and to simply hurt the body of Christ, to cripple the body of Christ. So it isn't effective and it isn't flourishing, and that ultimately your walk with God will suffer. Think about it. Your walk with God, my walk with God is going to suffer because I'm not willing to, or maybe I don't see that I need to forgive as I've been forgiven. Period. If you have anything, when you're standing there praying, Jesus says, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Boy, it just sounds so simple, doesn't it? So forgive them. But how difficult it is for so many of us to just do it. Just to forgive. Just to love. Ask yourself the question right now. Do I have anything against anyone? Am I upset at someone in my life right now? How do you know? Well, when their name comes up, does it do something, tweaks in me? When I see them, if I am still seeing them, when I think about them, is it different than when I think about someone that I'm cool with? You've got an issue in your heart with someone. Jesus says, you know what you do with that? You forgive them. Jesus didn't say, you know what, if they asked you to forgive them, forgive. He says, forgive them. If they come to you, he just says, forgive them. So what he says here in our Mark passage, he says, if you have anything in your heart against anyone, forgive them. Just let it go. Forgive them. It is so important that we see this, church. It is so important that we hear this message and we hear what God wants to speak. Because again, I'm not just teaching a Bible passage to you this morning. I really believe that the Lord wants to do a healing in your life today. I believe that God wants to touch you. I believe that there are people in here that, specifically, I believe there are people in here that are very hurt from their parents. There is something, and I'm not talking to just the youth this morning. I'm talking to you that maybe your parents aren't alive anymore. And that your parents did something and you've never let it go, or did a lot of things. And there's a little bitterness in there. And I want to tell you this morning that unless you release that and forgive them, know that it affects your fellowship and relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it affects your relationship with other people as well. There are walls in our hearts. As well, there are some people I believe that, and these are just things God's laid on my heart. I haven't talked to anyone, or, you know, there's things that you take it for what it is. You know, you open your heart and say, God, is that me? But I believe that there are some today that are bitter at a person over a relationship that either is going bad or has gone bad. A marital relationship. And there's hurt, because where there's hurt, there's natural hurt and bitterness that follows the hurt. And I'm hurt. And there's the lack of forgiveness. And again, I think for most of it, you don't think you're an unforgiving person. You don't go, I'm not going to forgive. I don't believe in forgiveness. In fact, if someone came in the very situation you were in to you for counsel, you would tell them what I'm telling you. And you would never connect that you're just like them. Someone came to you and they're hurt and bitter about something, and you'd say, well, you know, the Bible says you need to forgive. And you believe in it. But sometimes we just don't see our hearts, because our hearts are deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know them? Well, you and I, we can't. And we get deceived by our own sin. We get deceived by our lack of forgiveness. Well, that person did that. You're right, they did. Forgive them. Real simple word, just forgive them right now. Well, I did. No, actually, I don't think you probably have, because you're still walking in unforgiveness. Well, I did, but they... No, just forgive them. Just forgive them. Just say, you know what? It's okay. The Lord loves them as He loves me. When you walk in unforgiveness, you don't ever really come into the understanding and the reality of God's forgiveness for you. Do you struggle today with understanding the love of God? It's because you don't know the love of God, even in your own life. Listen, when you understand how much God's forgiven you, you won't help but to say, Lord, I forgive them. And I believe that for us on the human side, on our responsibility is that I need to take the step and say, you know what, Lord? I forgive them. I believe if you do that, that you're going to begin to understand God's love for you more. Because when you do forgive, and then you realize this is what Christ did for me and more, it moves you. I know there's a lot of pain in our lives. I know people have sinned against you. I know it hurts. I know some of it is stuff we've had for years. So deep within us, we don't even want to go there because it hurts too much. But I know that Jesus Christ wants to set you free by teaching you how to forgive them. Love them. Actually go into a place in your life where instead of being bitter at them, you care about them because Jesus Christ cares about them. Realize this, every person that you are hesitant in your life to forgive, Jesus Christ is willing to forgive. If it is a Christian that you're struggling with, know this, God has already forgiven them. God loves them. God is going to cause them to stand. God is going to do His work in them. Whether you forgive them or not, and your unforgiveness is going to hurt you, and it will never affect them. God loves you. So He says, when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Maybe, like I said, maybe they're dead. Maybe they're not here. Maybe they won't talk to you. Maybe you can't go and reconcile. Maybe that's not an option. Just forgive them then. You can still forgive them. People that aren't even alive anymore. Maybe they're not saved. Maybe they're in hell. You can still forgive them for the things they did for you. Have compassion. Have mercy upon them. Are you, am I, a gracious people? Are we a gracious people? Are we a forgiving people? Meaning we're ready to give them second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances. We really have that heart. Here in Matthew chapter 18, would you look at it with me? In verse 21, Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall a brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Now, Peter's stepping out on a limb here. Jesus teaches on forgiveness. We read in verse 15, and he goes through the different steps of church discipline and the things that ought to be done if someone won't repent. And Jesus says, and Peter's like, that's interesting. That's forgiveness. So, Jesus, how often ought I forgive someone that's, again, notice, sinned against me? They hurt me. Hey, seven times. It's a good number. It's a biblical number, seven times. That's a lot of times. Jesus says to Peter, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Jesus was not expecting Peter to get out his calculator at this point and say, 70 times seven, let me think. How many times do I, and do the math. What is Jesus saying? He's saying you forgive him over and over and over, and you never stop, and there's no end, and you keep doing what God does. See, that's the key. What does God do? God forgives. Oh, and He forgives so well. Listen to this. Stay in Matthew. Write this down if you're taking notes. Do write some verses down this morning if you've got something to write with. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 12 and 13, listen to what it says. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. As Christians, this is what we're to do. We're to put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, long-suffering, meekness. And then listen to verse 13, Colossians chapter 3. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. Notice that even as Christ forgave you. Think about it. And I hope we know the forgiveness of our Lord. And I would suggest the more you understand God's grace, the more gracious you become. The more you actually practically receive the grace of God, the more grace you extend to others. Do you know how much I have hurt the heart of God? Do you know how many times I've sinned against the Lord? Do you know how many times I've just rebelled against Him, saved and unsaved? Do you know how many times I've taken His word and I've rejected it and I've done my own thing? And as He's forgiven me, I also ought to forgive you. See, Paul's speaking to the body. He says, bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint, you've got maybe, and it's a very legitimate complaint against another, forgive them, even as Christ has forgiven you, so you must also do. Even as, in the same degree as Christ has forgiven you, so you must also do. Wow. The same unconditional love, we call it. Unconditional. Well, I'm not going to forget. I have forgiven that person so many times, and they just keep hurting me. And Jesus says, and if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. But you don't understand, you know, this woman I live with, I hear. Forgive her. She's got to forgive you more than you know it, buddy. I mean, I look at the guy like, you, and you're just a holy saint, right? Forgive. You know, what's going to cause that relationship to grow and to last and to be God glorifying? Forgiveness. Forgive. Love. The very core of love is forgiveness. Imagine if God said, I love you, but won't forgive you. Well, it'd be a little different love than we know of. Forgiveness. And so Jesus, back to our Matthew, says, Matthew 18, verse 23, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like, Peter, check this out. Let me explain what I'm saying here. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Let me just put it this way real easy. 10,000 talents is about $20 million. In Jesus' day, in our day, it would be over a billion. If you figure inflation and everything, we're talking a lot of money, okay? You guys, billion. You know, like, my mind goes, a billion? What's that? You know, it's just beyond ability to repay, and isn't that you and me? We can't pay off our debt of sin. And the wages of sin is debt. We have a debt to pay, and only Christ could pay the debt for us. And He did. And so here comes this king and the servant, and the servant therefore fell down as the king requires it before him, verse 26, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will repay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. The servant says, falls on his knees, pleads with them, I'll repay you. Give me some time. Be patient with me. The master is moved with compassion. And he says, you know what? You don't even need to pay me. You're forgiven. That's forgiveness. You earn my trust back. No, forgive them. Just forgive them. They might rip you off. They might walk all over you. They might hurt you. Forgive them. No conditions, no strings attached. The love of God we're talking about. That's the love of God. Isn't that what He does for you? Forgive Him. And so it says, verse 28, but the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, said, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you all. Same thing he said to the king. know, a denarii is like a day's wage. So one day you get one denarii. We're talking about 100 days' wages for a common laborer compared to $1 billion. And that, again, this is a comparison. Jesus is trying to draw a comparison between the king being the father in heaven and you and I being the servant. We've been forgiven so much. And then we go out to our fellow Christian. We got our hand around their throat. Oh, I'm going to forgive you. You owe me. You hurt me. You. And Jesus is going to just lay it out here in verse 29. So his servant fell down at his feet, begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told the master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant." And let me say this, when I don't forgive you, I'm a wicked servant. What right do I have not to forgive you after I've been forgiven such a debt? I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torture until he should pay all that was due to him. Now watch this. Listen to what Jesus says. He ties it all together. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from the heart does not forgive his brother his trespass. Notice where Jesus calls. He calls repentance from every or forgiveness from every single one of us, each of you. And notice where he wants it. He wants it from the heart. Not from the mouth. I forgive you, brother, but you don't. Because the pain is so great, you might say. And your pain is only going to be healed when you learn to forgive. And when you learn to see how much Christ has forgiven you. And your walk with God is going to grow. And your walk with God is going to flourish. And your fellowship with God is going to be something real. Because as you receive grace in your life, grace should be coming out of your life. A sign of not being a gracious person is a sign of not one that understands and receives the grace of God. Listen, the word for our body is if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Just with joy, with the power of God, with the love of God, just release them. Just let them grow. You know, if our church isn't that, it's going to be something else that's pretty bad, which is this. A place where people come. The church is considered a place that's like a hospital. A place where sinners come. Now, if we expect sinners to come here, well, we do because you're here, right? You know, they always say, you know, if you find a perfect church, don't go there because it won't be perfect anymore. And how true that is. I got the perfect church, stay away. Because you're going to ruin it. Because you're not perfect. You know, we're sinners. Listen, I'm a sinner. Like I said, there's times, I've hurt so many people. Not meaning to. Never. That was never my intent. Y'all going to go hurt people today. No, but I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. And that's no excuse for them. They need to be confessed and repented of and dealt with. But the reality is this. That if our church is in a place where people can repent and say, "I'm sorry," and be touched and healed and be embraced once again and given a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chance, then it's not going to be a healthy place. There aren't going to be healthy Christians here because we all need that. Could you imagine a child being raised and maybe you say, "Yeah, that's my bitterness towards my parents. They didn't do this." We'll forgive them. But could you imagine a child being raised in an atmosphere where if they make a mistake, they are going to be not just in trouble. Well, certainly we're to discipline and rear our children, and that's so important, and so the Lord does with us. That has nothing to do with forgiveness. But they're not going to be embraced. They're not going to be given a second chance. They're never going to be believed in. They're always going to be put down and smashed and set off to the side. That child will never grow. That child will be a dysfunctional adult. But you know, a child that is a little sinner, you know, these wicked, you know, he says here, you wicked servants. I want to say that to my kids. I don't. You wicked little sinner. What are you trying to do now? I'm just sharing my heart. That's why we don't have kids in the sanctuary, so we can say these things. But, you know, isn't that what they're like? But imagine if that's what I treated them at. You are just worthless, good for nothing, wicked. Now, that might be true at this present hour. But you know what they need? They need grace. They need correction. They need love, but they need love, don't they? They need to say, you know what? You did wrong, and here's your punishment, and Dad loves you, and Dad believes in you. You know what that does to a little kid? I believe that God wants to do a work in your life. I believe that God wants to use you. I believe in you. You know what? If no one believes in you, you need to know this. Your Dad believes in you. Don't you know that the Father's saying to us, I love you. I know you've blown it, and I know you've blown it a lot. And I know you think maybe your life is just a wreck, but I believe in you. Don't you know that the people that have hurt you, God believes in them. God knows their end. God's blood is covering their sin. God is there to restore them. Are we? Are we the representations of God Almighty? Are we the church of Jesus Christ? Are we His body? Are we His healing hands and His healing touch, His words that speak encouragement? That's who He is. And for the one that wouldn't forgive, well, He was given to the tortures. He was dealt with severely. It's basically what Jesus said. If you don't forgive others, your Heavenly Father won't forgive you. That's a word I just wanted to sink deep into our souls. I must, for my own growth and for the glory of God, forgive. Let me say this. Forgiving people is one of the greatest joys that I've ever experienced in my life. Looking at someone that has hurt you, someone that has blown it, someone that knows they've blown it, and just saying, and I want you to know that you're forgiven, and I love you. But more importantly, the Lord loves you and He wants to touch your life. You know what it's like to be used as God's tool like that? Because you're right in the midst of the love of God. Of that which gets you up every morning. Of that what's going to cause you to walk with Him. That's the love of God. A lot of people have hurt me through the years. And if I didn't forgive them, even if they didn't ask for it, you know, God forgives you before you ask. He just forgives you. If I didn't forgive them, it would hurt me. And at times it has hurt me. And it would create in me walls, a hardened heart, bitterness, and a lack of a right perspective of God's love. And it would affect ultimately my fellowship with God. Brothers and sisters, there is healing for you today if you would forgive others. And certainly for those that you can forgive, healing for them. Do you want to be like Jesus? I do. I want to be like Jesus. Jesus was there to heal Peter, to give him the second chance. Turn with me to Luke 15. I just can't go off this subject without touching this illustration for us. Luke 15, the prodigal son. We know the story. But let's hear it. Let's hear it afresh this morning. The prodigal son. I won't read the whole thing. We know the story. The son comes in, and what does he do? He sins against his dad. He takes his dad's livelihood. He asks his dad to split the inheritance between him and his eldest brother. And he takes it and he goes off and he lives a life of immorality, a life of sin, a life of absolute worldliness. Do you think it broke the father's heart? Do you think the dad was hurt? Anyone that's a parent in here this morning knows how painful that is. How painful it is when someone goes, when a child just takes and destroys your life because they are your life. And the dad waits. What else could he do? And he waits. And he waits. And it says in verse 17 of Luke 15, but when he, speaking about the boy, came to himself, oh, and that's the day we wait for. Oh, Lord, to come to himself. And my mom waited for that day. And it happened. I came to myself. He says, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against you, against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he rose and he came to his father. Notice, first of all, he knew his father would receive him. He knew it because he knew his father. I don't know about you, but when you come to your senses, don't you rise and go to your heavenly father knowing he'll forgive you? Knowing he'll cleanse you. Now, here's this boy. He's certainly broken by now. And that's what we'd hope for when people have sinned, that there'd be a great brokenness. Hey, I'm not even worthy to be called your son anymore. I'll just come as a hired servant. Look, you know, Father. And notice the Father's response. And this is my question. Is this yours? Is this my response when people that have greatly wounded us and hurt us come to us and want a second chance? It says, verse 20, he arose and came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. The father said to his servant, notice this. The son says, the father sees him. He runs to him. The father has already forgiven the boy before he repents. Get that. He runs to the boy. He falls on his neck and he starts kissing him. My son. He's got his son back. He didn't say, now, how are you coming? He didn't know. Are you repenting? Are you going to get right? Are you going to say you're sorry? He just embraced the boy that he loves. It's the love of God. It should be the love in every Christian's heart. The Apostle John tells us the evidence of being a born-again Christian, that we love one another, even as Christ has loved us. And what does the boy say? Dad, I'm not even worthy to be your son. And what does the dad do? He doesn't even respond. He turns, servants, get a robe. Put it on him. Get a ring for his finger. Get sandals for his feet. Kill the fatted calf. For today, let's make merry. And listen to what he says. Verse 24. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they begin to be merry. The father's heart was so filled with joy. And that's where we should be. When people come to us that have hurt us, that have sinned against us, that have done things to us, and they come and say, could you forgive me? Our hearts should be just with jubilee. Because we've already forgiven them. That's a done issue. And we are just so excited to see them get right with their Lord. We're so excited to see them get back on track. Bitterness, unforgiveness kills people's walks. There have been people that have gone to other churches from our church through the years. And that happens in every church. And they've gone with blessing, and they've gone because the Lord was leading them, and they're blessed, and they're flourishing, and they're walking with the Lord. There are people that have left out of bitterness, of hurt. Something that happened, someone that said something that went on. And those that still remain in a place of bitterness, I have seen through the years that it has greatly affected their walks. Many times they don't go and get plugged into another church. They kind of just wander around. Still Christians. They still confess the truths of the Word, but they're struggling. They never just go because their hearts are wounded. And what is their healing? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. You should never, ever, ever leave our church because you're bitter. because it's only going to hurt you. If you're going to leave our church, you ought to leave the church with blessing, because we're not the only church. Because there are great churches out there. You're God's child. You're a sheep. I'm just an under-shepherd. If he moves you to some other under-shepherd's church, that's fine. As long as you are blessed and you're growing and you're loving Jesus Christ. Because you know what? We're all going to be in heaven together. It's not going to be like Saving Grace in heaven and, you know, Baptist. You know, we're the body of Christ. But you know what? When we're bitter at each other, even if we're gone, my point is it will affect your walk. And I've seen it affect tons of people's walks. And it destroys. Forgiveness is that which heals. And it heals you. Certainly it heals others, but it heals you. If you're in unforgiveness, it's going to hurt you. And it's going to hurt you bad. And you might not even see it. And ultimately, it's going to hurt the body of Christ as a whole, and I think it has. I think the body of Christ as a whole, especially the Western American church, especially here in Southern California, we go from church to church to church. People do it all the time. Never getting, and the church is affected by it. The churches are affected by it. There's no depth. There's no commitment. There's, oh, that person did that, or that pastor said that, or that. So they just go to another one. And then they just, you know, and every few months, every few years, they move from church to church to church. We call it church hopping. Joe Horner calls it salad bar Christianity. You just pick a little here. No, I don't like that. And you go down there and pick a little. And it hurts the church. There's no commitment. There's no body anymore. It's like, who's in the body? Who's not? Who's here? Who's not? And there's a need for us to be committed to the Lord and committed to work through our problems together. Again, if the Lord calls you on, make sure he calls you on with no problems. They're worked through. And if there is problems and you'd like to move on, that's okay. But don't leave with bitterness, because I care about you. Because it's going to hurt you. Listen, if you stand praying and you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Just forgive them. Oh, I can take a deep breath when I say that. Forgive them. I don't have to worry about it. You know, I'm not the Lord. I'm not the judge. That's the thing that has set me free in my walk with the Lord. You know, I'm going to read to you a few verses here concerning judgment and bitterness and speaking evil. Just what's the Bible say about it? Because I'll tell you what, these verses set me free a long time ago in my walk with the Lord. When I was hurt and when people said things and people did things to me that hurt me, that just liberated my life. First one, Romans chapter 14, verse 4. Wow, this is maybe a revolutionary verse to some of us this morning. Maybe it's a new concept, but let's hear it. And let's hear it in its full force. Paul the Apostle says, "Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And indeed, he will be made to stand, for God will make him stand." Who are you? Who am I to judge another man's servant? Who am I? Am I the judge, is the question. Are you the judge? No. Should you extend forgiveness? Absolutely. Do you have the right to withhold it? No. Are you the one that's going to judge people? No. Who are you? That's the first question. Who are you? What do you think you are? Who do I think I am? Do I view myself as a servant of Christ? Or do I view myself as something better than a slave of Jesus Christ? See, a slave doesn't have rights. Here's the reality. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. And sometimes God's going to use me by people walking on me, by people hurting me. God's glory is going to be made known to them. God's love is going to be manifested. Why, they hurt me, they say things to me, and they know it, and I just love them and forgive them. I'm absolutely being a representative of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to be. And I'm his servant, so maybe he's going to use me to do that. And I know he's going to. I know he has, and I know it's hard. But your eyes have to be fixed on Jesus. Just love him. Love the Lord and love people. And if you've got any problem with them, let it go. Forgive them. That doesn't mean there's no accountability. It doesn't mean we don't correct each other. The passages we read, Matthew chapter 18, talks about church discipline. Paul exercised church discipline. There's a difference between caring about someone and judging someone. See, when you care about someone, you reach out to them. Next verse, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore him in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Galatians 6, 1. God wants us, when we see someone overtaken in a sin, to go to him. Notice it says, you who are spiritual. Let me say this first and foremost. A spiritual person is a forgiving person, a loving person. A person filled with the Holy Spirit is manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. Go to them and do what? Restore. Is that your heart? See, the heart of judgment is never restoration. It's just, let me let you know that you have offended me, that you are wrong, and that I am right. And that is, let me say this, that is the heart that every one of us were born with. And it has to be transformed by the work of the cross. It's got to be melted away with the love of God. Love should so motivate us and move us. And so, restoration. That's what Jesus says. Another verse, Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Judge not, lest you be judged. For with this judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now that caused me to step back. No, okay. Judge not, lest I be judged. I don't want to judge. Because I don't want to be judged. Because if you're real with yourself, you've got a lot that we can judge you on. You can come into my life and rip it apart. Because I'm a sinner. Saved by the grace of God, seeking God and trying my hardest to walk in the Spirit and be filled with the love of God. But you can find holes. You can, you know, and people, it's amazing. People want to do it. They want to find holes. They want to judge. Just know this, the measure you use, it will be measured back to you, and it will be measured back to you by God. So that's something I don't want. So I'd rather just do what Jesus said, forgive. Forgive him. Two words, forgive him. Okay, that's good. I can do that. Just let it go. He says, for with the judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Verse 3, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly that you might remove the speck from your brother's eye. Notice that Jesus is saying, remove the speck, the splinter. You know, when I worked construction, a lot of times we'd get something in our eyes. We didn't always follow, you know, the codes. We didn't always follow the safety tips, you know, wear the goggles and stuff. We're, you know, busy. We're jamming. We're going. We're professionals. We don't need that. And you get something in your eye. You get sawdust in your eye. You get something in your eye. And when you do, usually what would happen is your guy, the buddy you're working with, would look into your eye to see, you know, do I got something in my eye? You know, he's trying to get the speck out. Now, what if, you know, I did masonry. What if I took the cement and just smeared it in the guy's eyes and had a little speck of sand in mine and said, hey, can you see? He couldn't even see. And so we are to help. Do what? Restore a man. What would I go help my friend to get something out of his eye for? So he could see clearly, so the eye wouldn't hurt, so he'd be healthy and healed. I go, hey, you got a speck in your eye. And I got, you know, a plank in my own eye. So again, I want to emphasize this. We're to restore. We're to care. We're to confront. We're to exhort. We're to come alongside and say, hey, bro, that isn't right. And I love you enough to tell you. And you're hurting yourself and you're hurting people. You can't do that. And I'm so thankful in my life for the people that have done that with the spirit of humility, with the heart to restore. And I have been thankful because my eye has been cleaned and I can see better. And I can walk with God better. And we ought to do that. But we ought not to do it with judgment, but love. Love is the key. Galatians chapter 5 says this, and this is a very powerful passage of Scripture. For all, verse 14 and 15, Galatians 5, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we're talking about, isn't it? Now listen to this, verse 15, Galatians 5:15. But if you bite and devour one another, Beware lest you be consumed by one another. Paul the Apostle speaks to people that need love. And he says to them, he says, if you bite and devour one another, you don't love your neighbor as yourself. You go around picking and, you know, saying things and speaking about one another. You're going to be consumed by one another. Can I just say, from what I've seen as a Christian and as a pastor, over and over and over and over again, people destroy one another because they simply won't forgive one another. And when you don't forgive, then you start saying stuff. And the things that were once hurtful, now the things you're saying are really hurtful. And you begin to destroy. And I've seen churches destroyed. I can't tell you how many pastors I've met with. Their church has been divided over biting and devouring judgment and just the lack of love, lack of forgiveness. And people were genuinely hurt. People had pain. People were sinned against. We as the body of Christ, is our responsibility to forgive. It's not my responsibility just to forgive and, you know, you guys can all just not forgive. Like, somewhere we got the body of Christ, the pastor's like the body of Christ and the body isn't. No, we are the body of Christ. Whether I'm up here and you're down there or you're up here and I'm down there, I am responsible to God Almighty to be a Christian, that if I have anything against anyone, to forgive them. And if I don't, it's going to affect the life of the body. It's going to affect the church greatly. Listen to what James says in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. He says, do not speak evil of one another. Do not. That's what happens. When you get bitter, you begin to speak evil. Oh, here. Someone's going, well, you know, you got to watch out for that guy. You start speaking evil. Well, you know, they're just not really the most faithful. And I can't tell you how many times I've caught myself doing that. And just how awful it is. Destructive it is. We ought to speak well of one another. Love believes all things. Thinks no evil. Love never fails. Why is it that we so quickly jump to the conclusion of evil? That person, well, they, you know, you people hurt you all the time and don't know they even hurt you. And you know what you need to do to them? Think the best. They didn't mean to hurt me because I've done the same thing. I've hurt people. I didn't ever start thinking logically instead of emotionally. They didn't mean to hurt me. They said that. I know that person. That person's my friend. They care about me. They love me, but they just hurt me. And so immediately we respond emotionally, think, you know, they're out to get, they hate me, they do this, that. And we start thinking evil. Like they're malicious and horrible. Like the whole body of Christ is all these malicious people trying to destroy you. And they're not, and I can't tell you how many people I've met with that really have a view that the body of Christ is out to kill them. Just destroy him. Everyone hates him. Well, hold on. No one hates you. Well, no, these guys, you know, that I live with. Well, why do they let you live there if they hate you? Let's think logically through this. They don't hate you. Your husband doesn't hate you. He didn't marry you and say, you know, I'm going to just beat this girl up. I'm just going to yell at her all the time. Well, why is he yelling? Because he's hurt. Something's going on. That's how he responds. And you cry. And you need help. But you need forgiveness. You can't get any help. You can't get any marriage counseling without forgiveness. You got to forgive one another. It's going to cause you to love one another again. James says, don't speak evil of one another. For he who speaks evil of one another speaks evil of the law. As a judger of the law. Verse 12 there of James 4. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? Again, who are you to judge another? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. We'll close here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I think this is just such a... I know for me in my walk with the Lord, and I maybe I'm just sharing with you guys today the things I've learned from the Lord and that which Christ has taught me, which has so blessed my life to be a forgiving person. It is such a joy to give people, you know, the 10th chance after they've blown it so many times. And they look at you like, you're not really going to do this. And I look at them like, of course I am. Because Jesus Christ loved me. He gave me a million chances, if you only knew. God loves you. God wants to work in your life. Let's just leave the past, and let's just repent of our sins and get right with our God, and let's just go forward. Because usually people aren't malicious in the body of Christ. But a lot of times they're accused to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. There at the end of verse 4, the Apostle Paul says this, after he says, I know nothing against myself, yet I am not judged by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Do you know that the person that is going to judge the person that has hurt you, it's not you, you're not the judge. We learn that. It's the Lord. The Lord will deal with it. But you know, this person that, hold on. If you have anything against anyone, just forgive them. That's your responsibility. Don't judge them. Well, you don't understand their motives. You don't know their motives. Oh, yeah, I do. I heard them. You don't know their motives. You're trying to tell me you don't know your motives, let alone their motives. Oh, yeah. No, you don't. You're not the judge. You're walking into a role that is not yours. You have no authority or no wisdom in. Get out of it. Come back to the servant role. Paul the Apostle says this, verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time. Oh, good word, Paul. Step back, because you're not a judge, you're a servant. Judge nothing before the time. Listen to that. Judge nothing before the time. Until when? The Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsel of the heart, that each one's praise will come from God. Wow. That's all I need. I'm set free. I don't have to judge. In fact, I shouldn't judge. In fact, it's dumb to judge. I don't know their motives. Who am I? Let's just wait until Jesus comes. You know, He'll work it all out. I mean, everything will be revealed, the hidden things of darkness, the counsel of the man's heart. It's all going to be manifested. You know what I get to do? I get to get caught up in loving Jesus and let Jesus be the judge. And let Jesus divide with His word to the division of the soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is the judger of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's not my job. You know what I get to do? I get to do the fun thing. I get to love. That's enjoyable. Everyone loves to love and be loved. I get to enjoy the Lord. I get to forgive people. I get to give them second chances. I get to be able to say, you know what? It's okay. Jesus forgave me, forgave you. Let's worship God and let's love the Lord. I don't need to be all worried or caught up. My heart doesn't need to be all messed up with all this stuff. And it's not mine to be dealing with. Just throw it on the Lord. Just, you know, when the Lord comes, He'll work it out. And if they're deceiving me right now and lying to me right now, the Lord will work it out. He's going to judge them. I'm not responsible to be the cop of the church to find out if you're telling me the truth or not. I just pray God reveal His truth and just move on and just enjoy the Lord. I don't have to look over my shoulder. And when someone hurts me, I can just forgive them and ask God to help me and find healing for myself and hopefully for them. And just give what I've received to let Jesus Christ be the Lord and the Savior of my life. Church, I pray we would just rise to the occasion. That when we stand and pray, if we find, and a lot of times it's when you stand and pray or pray, that you find there's something in your heart for someone. The answer? Forgive him. That's it. Forgive him. And let God be glorified.